This message, titled Receiving and Hearing the Word, from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, was preached at Winchester Reformed Presbyterian Church in Winchester, Kansas. For more information, visit us at winchesterrp.com.
Well, brothers and sisters, my goal in preaching to you this evening, I hope, is fairly simple. My objective from the pulpit this evening is to show you that your relationship, our relationship to the Word of God matters. Your relationship to the Word of God, especially as it comes in the context of gospel ministry, matters. You'll notice that Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, there in the 13th verse, make a transition. They transition from speaking and writing about their ministry among the Thessalonians to the way in which the Thessalonians responded to gospel ministry. And this evening, in two very simple points, I want to mark that transition. My first point is going to be from the pulpit to the pew. And my second point this evening will be from preaching to hearing. From the pulpit to the pew and from preaching to hearing. So let's look at what Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy write here and do so noting the transition that they make. We might say in this way, they transition from the pulpit to the pew. I want you to remember, brothers and sisters, what we've been looking at as we've been going through this second chapter of 1 Thessalonians. I want you to remember what it is that Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy have been writing. We have spent 8 weeks looking at the first 12 verses of this chapter. These verses that describe to the Thessalonians and to you and I in great detail what gospel ministry is all about. And we've noted as we've gone along, and I've admitted to you that if preaching to a room full of elders, in some sense, chapter 2 would be easier to preach. But Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy do not address what they write here to a room full of elders or a room full of pastors, but they are writing about gospel ministry to the members of the church there in Thessalonica. And they note that this gospel ministry had been given to them, entrusted to them as the spiritual leaders of the church. And we have seen in nuanced detail what that gospel ministry looks like, what it is that ought to characterize gospel ministry, and in a special sense, what it is that ought to characterize pulpit ministry. I want you to remember that Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy want the Thessalonians, and they want you and I to know and to remember what the ministry is all about. And we've seen that. We've seen Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy note the subject matter of the ministry. It is the gospel of God. We have seen the method that Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, following the Lord Jesus, employed, that they didn't come to Thessalonica with novelty. They didn't think they needed to reinvent the wheel, but the method by which they carried out their ministry was, as they say in that second verse, to declare to you the gospel of God, to preach to you, to proclaim to you, to publicly announce to you the gospel of God. We've seen the motives. What it is that ought to motivate those who are entrusted with gospel ministry. The motive must be born not out of a desire to please men, but as those entrusted with the gospel by God, the great motive of gospel ministry is to please God. And we've seen the manner in which this ministry was carried out by Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy among the Thessalonians. We've seen that they didn't make it their aim to please men. What a reminder that gospel ministry does not exist to please us. It does not exist so that we can make everybody feel good and cater to everybody's preferences. But more than that, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy remind them that the manner of their ministry was not simply not seeking to please men, but there was a gentleness about it, a gentleness that is likened to the relationship that exists between a nursing mother and her own children. We have seen that the gospel ministry demanded much effort and much work, a self-giving from those who have been called to the ministry. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy say, not only were we eager to share with you the gospel, but we were eager to share our very selves with you. We have seen that Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy spared no efforts, no energy in laboring for the sake of the gospel. We have seen that their lives were marked by a degree of holiness and righteousness and blamelessness. And we saw last week, as the Spirit was willing, that their ministry was characterized like the relationship between a father and his children. That as a father instructs his children, so they had faithfully exhorted, encouraged, and charged every person in Thessalonica to walk in a manner worthy of God. And Paul and Silvanus and Timothy want this understanding of gospel ministry to be engraved on our memories. They are saying to the church in Thessalonica, don't ever forget what gospel ministry is all about. Brothers and sisters, I preach that in meticulous detail, not to weary anybody unnecessarily, but with the hope and the prayer that in going through the details, all of us might see how high the bar is set for gospel ministry. How high the bar is for those who are called by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, approved and entrusted to minister the gospel to the Church of Jesus Christ, all that it demands and what it means. I want to remind you, as you remember all of that, that it will never do the Church of Jesus Christ any good to lower the bar of expectation, but to set before all of our eyes, here is what we ought to expect from gospel ministry. And as I concluded last week, so I ask again, pray for the leaders of this church, for the elders, that we might be encouraged to fulfill the ministry that Jesus has given us. The bar is very high. But what I want you to see as we come to this 13th verse then this evening is that great as the responsibility is, high as the bar is set for those who are called to gospel ministry, it does not mean that everybody else in the church can merely sit back and relax. It does not mean that all the responsibility falls upon the elders or falls upon the one who stands behind the pulpit to preach the word of God, and everybody else can just show up when they feel like it and warm a pew and sit back and relax and say, you know, I don't have much responsibility in this. I don't have much obligation. There's not much expected from me. You see, some people, I think, wrongly begin to think that preaching is a bit of a spectator sport. That when the word of God is being ministered, that all that is being asked of everybody else is to just kind of sit there. And maybe for 40 minutes or 45 minutes, just kind of passively listen to the things that are being preached. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that if that is your view of gospel ministry, it is not a biblical view of gospel ministry. And what we begin to see in the 13th verse is that Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy really transition from the responsibility of those called to gospel ministry. They really transition from those who stand behind the pulpit to those who sit in the pew. And what we see in the very example of the Thessalonians demonstrates for us that it matters how you, it matters how each and every one of us responds to gospel ministry. Every Lord's Day, when you come into this church and you are ministered to through the reading and the preaching of the word, it matters how you respond. It is never neutral. It doesn't matter. I can just float by this week. Maybe next week I'll be more dedicated. Brothers and sisters, what I want you to see this evening is that it matters for every single one of us how we respond to the ministry of the gospel. It matters. And we see that in the 13th verse. As they make this transition from the pulpit to the pew, look at what it is that they write. And we also thank God constantly for this. I just want to point out just very briefly there what a note of gratitude that is. That these three men, this apostle and this prophet and this preacher who had labored night and day in the midst of the Thessalonians, who had spared no energy and spared no expense to make the gospel known, they are able at the conclusion of their ministry there to say, you know what, you guys, we thank God constantly. We are so grateful. And what is it that they are grateful for? We also thank God constantly for this. That when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. What is it that Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy are constantly thankful to God for? Well, it's this, that the Thessalonians had received the word of God, that they had received it, that as it was being ministered and as it was being preached and as it was being made known to them, they received it. But more than that, they're thankful that as the word of God went forth, the Thessalonians not only received it, but they accepted it. They acknowledged the authority with which this word came. They say, you accepted it not as the word of men, not as the word of men, but as it really is the word of God. The very communication of God to his people, the very speech, the very words that God would have his people know. And that matters. That makes a world of difference when we come to accept and to acknowledge that what we have in the scriptures and what we have in the preaching of the scriptures is the word of God. And Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy are thankful that they received it, that they accepted it. But they are also thankful, notice there at the end of the 13th verse, that the word of God was at work in you believers. You know, brothers and sisters, if you go to a Christian bookstore, you will find shelves lined with books written by people who are encouraging pastors, who are encouraging leaders in the church to try to figure out strategies that work. And everybody's got a novel idea. Everybody's got a creative thought that the church needs to reinvent itself and it needs to do something that will work for this generation because what needs to work for this generation didn't work for that generation. And bookshelves are lined with these strategy guides. But here's the confidence of Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy. The word works. The word of God, as it is made known and as it is received and as it is accepted, they say, that word works. It works in you believers. It does what God wants it to do. As the prophet Isaiah said, as the rain comes down from heaven and waters the earth and brings forth a harvest, so every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord goes forth and it will not return void, but accomplishes everything God wants it to do. And Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy look at this church. They look at the pews, so to speak. And while they have set a tremendously high bar for the pulpit, they say, but here is something we are constantly thankful for. You received the word. You accepted the word. And the word is at work in the lives of all who are believers. And what we begin to see there, friends, is that high as the bar is set for gospel ministry. Great as the responsibility is for those who publicly teach the word, there is a tremendous responsibility on all of us as we are ministered to and as we come to have the gospel ministered to us. To put it simply this evening, there is a tremendous responsibility on you every single time you come to have the gospel of Jesus Christ ministered to you. And Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy do not shrink away. As high as the bar is that they set for their own ministry, they set the bar high for those who are ministered to. I want you to know that this week I vacillated and went back and forth. What's the best way to preach verse 13? There's so much here. And I yielded to the wisdom of my wife, who said, feel free to take your time. And so this evening, what I want to do is I want to take, in my second point, I want to take just the first aspect of what Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy are thankful for and to unfold it a little more. We also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us. When you received the word of God, which you heard from us. So my first point has been that Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, they transition from the pulpit to the pew. There's a responsibility on everybody in the pew. My second point this evening then, more to our point, is from preaching to hearing. From preaching to hearing. They say, we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God. And the question might be, if we just pause there for a moment, when did the Thessalonians receive the word of God? What is the reference that these three men are making? When did the Thessalonians receive the word of God? They immediately add for us, when you received the word of God, which you heard from us. You received the word of God when you heard it. I want to remind you of some of the logic as it's playing out in this chapter and the emphasis on this idea of hearing. If we go back to verse 2, we read, but though we had already suffered and been shamefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we had boldness in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in the midst of much affliction. We declared to you the gospel of God. Then look in verse 4, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak. They say, we have come and we declare to you the gospel of God. God has approved us and entrusted us with the gospel, and as he has done that, they say, so we speak. And then if you look at verse 9, for you remember, brothers, our labor and toil, we worked night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you while we proclaimed to you the gospel of God. So as we work our way through this chapter, we see a particular emphasis on the mode, the method of ministry. They declared the gospel of God. They spoke the gospel of God. They proclaimed the gospel of God. And that is the responsibility that fell upon Paul as an apostle. That's the responsibility that fell upon Silvanus as a prophet. And that's the responsibility that fell upon Timothy as a preacher. They were to declare and to speak and to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. But then they note that at some point our preaching was heard. You heard it. You received the word of God, which you heard from us. And you see, it's a reminder to us that we are met with a particular responsibility. We all are met with a responsibility that when the word of God is declared, when it is spoken, when it is proclaimed, brothers and sisters, you and I need to hear the word of God. You see what they're saying? We declared it, you heard it. We spoke it, you heard it. We proclaimed it, you heard it. But it's interesting the way they word this. They say, when you received the word of God, which you heard from us. And so there's something going on here. And what that is this hearing of the word of God is not simply a hearing with the ears. They call it a receiving. You received the word of God when you heard it from us. And what does the word receive mean? Well, if you just look that up in a basic dictionary, you know that the word receive means to take to oneself. To take to oneself. If you receive a gift, you don't push it away and hold it at an arm's distance. You receive that gift. You take that gift to yourself. And you see, they are noting here that the Thessalonians had heard the word of God, and in hearing it, it wasn't just that they audibly heard it, but they received it. They took the word of God to themselves. And we must remember this. Scripture is filled with all kinds of warnings that it is possible to hear the word of God and yet not hear it. Jesus himself says, as he speaks of his own ministry, that he spoke in parables. And the reason he spoke in parables is so that there would be those who heard, but in hearing, they failed to hear. In hearing with the ears, they failed to take it to themselves, and they failed to understand it. And you see, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy are saying, but here's what we are thankful for. What we are thankful for is when you heard the word of God, you received it. You took it to yourself. You did not simply hear it with the organs of the body, but you spiritually received it. And you received it for what it is, the word of God. And it's a reminder to put it simply this evening, friends, we must hear the word of God. And you know, if you think about this biblically, there is a tremendous priority put on hearing the word of God. There is a tremendous priority in the scriptures that is assigned to hearing the word of God. What we find as we mine the scriptures is that God has purposed in a very special way that his word, which we can read with our own two eyes, and praise God that we can, but God has purposed that in a very special way, his word is especially to be heard, to be listened to. Let me just note some scriptures that show us this priority. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 26, Jesus is coming to the end of what we call the Sermon on the Mount. He has taught for several chapters in the Gospel of Matthew all about the kingdom of God. He has, in a sense, encircled the kingdom of God, and he's marked its ramparts and its towers, and he said, here's what the kingdom of God is like, and here's what the kingdom demands. And he comes to the end of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 26. And many of us, we teach our young children these words. I, as a child in Sunday school, learned a song to go along with it. But Jesus says this in Matthew 7, everyone who hears these words of mine. And just to note there that it's actually very emphatic the way Jesus states that, to be very clear that what he's about to say is universally applicable. Our translations really, in some ways, water it down. Everyone who hears, or whoever hears my word. But really, the force of what Jesus says is everyone whosoever hears my word. And he's saying, here is something that is universally applicable to those who were there standing at the Mount of the Beatitudes as they heard the preaching of Christ, and on through the ages as we have those words recorded for us in Scripture. And Jesus says, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. And when the rains came, that house stands. But Jesus warns everyone who hears and does not do my word. It's like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. And when the rains come, it topples the house. Jesus is emphasizing the priority of hearing his word. It's interesting, and we'll be looking at this as we go through the life and the ministry of Jesus. But in Matthew chapter 13, as Jesus really kind of takes off on his teaching ministry, his teaching specifically through parables, do you remember the very first parable Jesus speaks? The very first parable that Jesus speaks is the parable of the sower. That man who goes about spreading the seed, and that seed falls on four different kinds of soil. It falls on fertile soil, it falls on a path, it falls on rocky soil, it falls on shallow soil. And do you remember the whole point and the whole emphasis of that parable? The whole point and the whole emphasis of that parable is, how do you hear the word of the kingdom? That's what Jesus says when Jesus goes to interpret that parable and tell his disciples what that parable means. He says, here's what it means. It means, how do you hear the words of the kingdom? What kind of soil are you? Are you fertile soil where the word that you hear actually produces a harvest? Or are you rocky soil? Or are you like the pathway? Or are you like shallow soil? And it's a humbling thing. Jesus gives four categories of listeners there. And only 25% of them actually hear the word of God appropriately and hear the word of the kingdom the way it ought to be heard. But that parable emphasizing for us the priority of hearing. Jesus in Luke chapter 8, crowds are pressing around him, and his mother and his brothers show up. And some people say, hey, Jesus, your mother and your brothers are at the door. And do you remember Jesus' response? Luke chapter 8, verse 21. My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. Jesus is defining his people, those who are in relationship with him, as those who hear the word of God. Luke chapter 11, verse 28. Jesus says, blessed are those who hear the word of God. John chapter 5, verse 24. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but he has passed from death to life. Do you see the force of what Jesus is saying? Do you hear that? Jesus is saying, truly, truly, I tell you, blessed is the one who hears me. Hearing is what distinguishes those who have passed from death into life from those who are still spiritually dead. John chapter 8, verse 47. Jesus says, whoever is of God hears the words of God. Acts chapter 2, verse 22, on that day of Pentecost, as Peter goes forth, you remember that the resurrected Jesus, before he ascends to heaven, tells his apostles, you're going to be my witnesses. You're going to go into all the world and you're going to preach the gospel. And what does Peter do? In Acts chapter 2, verse 22, men of Israel, hear these words. And probably one of the most pivotal passages in all of Scripture to emphasize the priority of hearing is Romans chapter 10. In Romans chapter 10, Paul is writing and he's saying, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. A wonderful gospel promise. But then there in Romans chapter 10, verse 14, even as Paul writes, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, he then, in part of his typical fashion, he begins asking questions, and then he answers questions. And he says, well, how are they going to call upon the name of the one whom they have not heard? And he says, and how are they going to hear unless somebody goes and preaches to them? And then in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, the Apostle Paul writes this, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing the word of Christ. Paul is saying faith, that means by which we believe in all the promises of the gospel. Where does faith come from? Faith comes from hearing the word of Christ. Galatians chapter 3, verse 2. The Apostle Paul asks the church in Galatia, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law? Or did you receive the Spirit by hearing in faith? And of course, the answer to that first question, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law, is an emphatic no. And the answer to that second question, did you receive the Spirit by hearing with faith, is an absolute yes. And James, in James chapter 1, verse 19, one of those maxims of the Christian life, James says everybody ought to be quick to listen and slow to speak. And we tend to quote that, and we do so out of context. It's not a terrible thing. There's a wonderful maxim there, but what is James speaking of? When James tells us that we ought to be quick to listen and slow to speak, he then immediately adds that we are to receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save our souls. That in listening and in hearing, we receive that word of God which is able to save us. And Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear. See, brothers and sisters, in giving you this long list of verses, my intent isn't just to pile verse upon verse, but to demonstrate for you that the Bible itself, God himself, places a tremendous priority on hearing his word. Hearing the word of God is not something that is optional for any person who goes by the name of Christian. But what we find is that God works in his saving power, and God works effectually not only through the reading of the scriptures, but in a very prioritized way, in a very particular way, God works his saving power through the hearing of his word. And what the Bible says about that is not something that modern technology has now made obsolete. This is not something that we should think, well, the reason they emphasize the hearing of the word, they didn't have a printing press back then. Thank God for the printing press. Now we don't need to hear the word of God. We can read it. Advancements in technology does not make obsolete what the Bible says. There is a tremendous blessing. God works through the hearing of his word. And Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy are saying, here is what we are constantly thankful for. When we think about your church, O Thessalonians, and we remember our ministry among you, and we remember all of our toiling and all of our laboring, here's what our hearts burst with gratitude for. You heard the word. And when you did, you received it. You took it to yourself. The constant emphasis of Scripture, the priority of Scripture, let him who has ears hear. It's the priority. And if the Bible puts a priority on that, brothers and sisters, my encouragement to you this evening, is to let your lives reflect that priority. If God himself puts a priority on the hearing of his word, then brothers and sisters, we need to prioritize the hearing of the word. And I am thankful, as Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy were, I am thankful that we are in a congregation that prioritizes the hearing of the word, that comes to morning worship to hear the word of God. And so many return in evening worship to hear the word of God, because God has said, here is my priority for you, that you be hearers of the word. And brothers and sisters, our lives need to reflect that priority. And I know many of your lives do, but I also want you to know that as you think about that, I know it's not easy. It is not easy. It is not easy at the end of a Lord's Day to say, oh, we got to drag everybody to church again. It is not easy to get into the routine and into the habit of coming and being hearers of the word, but there is a biblical reason why we do that. Why we sacrifice other things in our schedule and why we sacrifice some leisure and why it is that we devote time, especially on the Lord's Day, to do that. Because God has promised to work through the hearing of his word. And friends, when we deprive ourselves of that, when we allow ourselves to be deprived of that, we are depriving ourselves of the very means that God uses to give faith and to strengthen us and to grant salvation and to convert sinners and to encourage us and to build us up in the faith and to convict us and to train us and to sanctify us. And it needs to be a marked priority of our lives. And it doesn't come easy. Jesus in Luke chapter 8, verse 18, tells his disciples, pay attention to how you hear. Or as some translations put it, consider carefully how you listen. But friends, our lives must bear the mark and bear the evidence that what God prioritizes is what we prioritize. And God places a priority on hearing his word. And very simply, that means many things for us. It means that we need to be present, doesn't it? It means that we need to be present when the word of God is declared and when it is spoken and when it is proclaimed. The Thessalonians, much less ourselves, cannot receive and hear the word of God if we're not present for it. It means, friends, that we need to be prepared when we come to hear the word of God. Again, Jesus says, you've got to consider carefully how you hear. It's not easy. We've got to prepare ourselves as those who are coming to hear the word of God. We need to do it prayerfully. We need to realize that it is the ministry of the Holy Spirit to take what belongs to Jesus and make it known to us. And we are all dependent upon the ministry of the Spirit. And so we ought to be praying all the time for the Spirit's blessing upon the hearing of the word of God. It means that we need to do it meditatively. We sing that in the first psalm, don't we? Blessed is that man who meditates on the law of God day and night. He's like a tree that is planted by waters, bearing its fruit in its season. And it means we need to hear the word of God undistractedly. The psalmist in Psalm 86 says, teach me your way, give me an undivided heart. Teach me and give me an undivided heart. As you teach me. Brothers and sisters, there is a tremendous responsibility on all of us. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, they transition from the pulpit to the pew. They transition from the high standard they set for the preaching of the word to the high standard that is set for all of us who are ministered to by the word of God. And what they're constantly thankful for is that these Thessalonians had received the word of God. They'd taken it to themselves as they heard it declared, as they'd heard it spoken, as they'd heard it proclaimed. And may our congregation be and continue to be in greater measure a church that values the hearing of the word. Let's pray.